Hello, and welcome to the podcast, Enough, the People's Perspective on the Current Political State of the United States of America. Volume 9 is entitled, What is Going On? I would like to start this podcast with two verses from the Marvin Gaye song, What's Going On? Verse 1. Mother, mother, there's too many of you crying. Brother, 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 there's far too many of you dying. You know, we've got to find a way to bring some loving here today. Yeah. Verse 2. Father, father, we do not need to escalate. You see, war is not the answer. For love can conquer hate. Let us take several seconds to reflect on the above lyrics. So, where do we go from here? What's next? Honestly, we are living in an electrically charged, highly polarized, negative atmosphere of fear, which is tearing the United States and the world apart. We know that the egotistical nature of man clouds the mind and impacts judgment. But when mixed with religion, they would like you to think that there is a divine order to what is coming out of Washington, D.C. lately. I assure you that religious divinity has nothing to do with the state of the nation and that of the world. Our nation, the United States of America, has been taken hostage by two camps. The two camps are highly entrenched. To the far left, we have liberals and the extreme version of liberalism. To the far right, we have a fusion of religious extremism and nationalism. The far right appears to be the elites fighting to preserve their way of life on the backs of the working class. While to the far left, we have extreme liberals who want to do away with capitalism altogether. These extreme views are polar opposite of one another and bent on each other's mutual destruction. I will state for the record that over 80% of the nation is tired of the partisan bickering. We the people are tired of the nonsense and dysfunction coming out of Washington, D.C. We the people are tired of divisive politics. We are tired of the subjugation of the middle class. The reality for most of us living in the United States of America is that the cost of living is exceedingly high. Energy bills, healthcare bills, housing, and food prices are absorbing a large portion of our income, leaving no room for disposable income. Translation: no money to go to the movies, no money to go out for dinner, no money to buy new clothing, no money to buy anything other than your family's necessities. This is a formula for a recession. If this formula continues to be applied by the current administration, our nation and the world will be in a recession by the end of 2026. We, the people, are in essence tired of living to work and not working to live. For this segment, I plan to highlight the views of the extreme left in addition to that of the extreme right. But I had a realization and concluded that we are all well-versed in both perspectives. We are experts on both extreme views. We see their inability to solve problems and govern the nation effectively for the bottom 80% of us who fund the government with our tax dollars. Instead, I have chosen to put a spotlight on equity and equality for this podcast. I will also state for the record that the United States of America is a multi-ethnic, multilingual, multiracial nation with a dark past. My reason for mentioning our dark past is not to bring forth guilt. Rather, it is to acknowledge historical inequalities and to move forward with an understanding of the past, as well as with a newly developed, deeper conviction to do better for the bottom 80% of us, the working poor. I believe that I can say with certainty that you, as an individual, did not contribute to the systems of government or institutions that perpetuated and continue to perpetuate inequality. You did not rubber stamp inequitable government policies that negatively affect the bottom 80% of us. I believe that systemic institutionalized racism exists, which has created inequitable conditions throughout history as well as in present day. However, I do not believe that the majority of us support or condone racism of any kind. Our portion of the pie has purposely been cut smaller, yet there are more and more of us who need to eat from the same sliver. For me, the Trump administration is manipulating the American people as well as our stock market, financial institutions, and the world economy. For me, the Trump tariffs are a way for Trump to manipulate the stock market, create wealth for himself, his family, and for all of their associates. Currently, Trump and his family are neck deep into the digital currency and finance world. Ironically, this time around, Trump and his family have the digital market cornered. Was the Trump family not into real estate prior to the 2024 election? Why the change from the real estate market to the digital finance market? I remember that in his first term, Trump wanted nothing to do with digital currency. So what caused Trump, his family, and their associates to pivot into the digital finance market following his inauguration in 2025? For me, it is time for a Jerry Maguire moment. It is time for Trump, his family, and their associates to show us the money. How is Trump making his money while serving as president of the United States of America? Who is donating to Trump's war chest and why? Who is funding Trump's pet projects like the Grand Ballroom and why? With whom has Trump made deals with at home and abroad? Who will benefit from the deals that Trump brokered at home and abroad? Will it be the working class or the wealthy class? On another note, let's talk about the removal of the penny from circulation. For me, this is phase one of the Trump plan to move the nation and the world into exclusively using digital currency. The removal of the penny from circulation is yet another way for the business elites to jack up the prices of daily living expenses. For me, too many government officials, too many politicians, too many court officials, including most of the Supreme Court justices, are willingly choosing to ignore their oath to the Constitution of the United States of America and choosing to fill their minds with Trump's nonsense as they destroy the very foundation of the American government, the rule of law, for their personal gains. For me, the cement mixer has been mixing mortar for several decades. The elites have been constructing the foundation of their power with the intermingling of professionals together with politicians in positions of power in and out of the United States government. The blend of nationalism with religion is what they are feeding the masses. But what is going on in front of our eyes is that Trump, his family, and their associates are making billions off the backs of the American people. Trump and the elites have a vision for America and the world that does not include freedom of speech or any freedoms granted by the United States Constitution in conjunction with its Bill of Rights. Food for thought. The last time I checked, Trump is a convicted felon. The last time I checked, Trump had several bankruptcies that went through the court system. The last time I checked, Trump had several court cases pending. The last time I checked, Trump was associated with Jeffrey Epstein at some point in time. The last time I checked, Trump and the Trump family multiplied their net worth by millions since he became president in 2025. The last time I checked, Trump had not yet released his 2016 taxes. I am still waiting to see his 2016 taxes. Is his 2016 audit not complete? Where are his taxes? Show us his taxes. I still believe in the systems of checks and balances, as well as the rule of law within the United States of America. I cannot understand why so many individuals voted to allow Trump, a convicted felon, to be president of the United States of America. I also do not understand how individuals in positions of authority allow Trump to conduct personal business on behalf of himself, his family, and their associates while being president of the United States. Trump appears to have zero concerns for domestic matters and the American people. If this is not a conflict of interest for the office of the presidency, it is most definitely a conflict of interest for the American people. Our commander-in-chief is currently making deals in the United States and around the world that greatly benefit him, his family, and their associates. Trump has made it clear by his actions that he, his family, his leadership team, and the American military are open for business. On another note, let's talk about executive orders. I will say that several of Trump's executive orders have either withheld or transferred funds within the United States government without the authorization of Congress. Does not Congress have the power of the purse? How and why is Trump allowed to use the American government's budget as his personal bank account? On a separate note, when was the last time that Congress met after passing the big, beautiful bill? What has Congress accomplished since passing the big, beautiful bill? How has the big, beautiful bill benefited the American working class? Why is Trump, his family, their associates, and his administration being left unchecked by a large number of government officials? What's going on in Washington, D.C.? Looking forward to 2026. On the home front, will the Jeffrey Epstein files reveal Trump's and Melania's role in the scandal? Will the American people support what Trump is doing with Ukraine and Venezuela? Will Congress finally hold Trump accountable for his actions as commander-in-chief and move to impeach him? Will the United States of America fall into a recession by the end of the year? Will January 6, when Trump's mega supporters storm the capital of the United States, always be remembered as Insurrection Day? Will our nation's law enforcement community fail to protect the homeland from domestic or foreign adversaries? Will ICE continue its sanctioned flagrant violation of constitutionally protected rights as they search for, quote, undocumented criminals, unquote? Will American citizens continue to be terrorized by ICE? Will Trump be allowed to continue the use of unfettered power by our nation's leaders? Will the United States of America fall into a civil war? Looking forward to 2026 on foreign policy, will Trump and his administration continue to support Putin? Will Russia gain large portions of Ukraine with a deal brokered by Trump? Will Putin take all of Ukraine? Will Zelensky be forced to flee Ukraine? Will Trump continue to support Benjamin Netanyahu? Will Israel relocate Gazans out of Gaza and not allow them back in? Will the Saudis commit to monetarily supporting Israel's rebuilding of the Gaza Strip? Will peace be achieved in the Middle East? Will Trump enforce his call for regime change in Venezuela? Will Trump continue to insist that Canada and Greenland, like Puerto Rico and Hawaii, become American territories? Will Trump try to acquire Cuba? Will China take Taiwan? Chinese, Saudi, and Russian influence is growing around the world because of their investments in foreign nations. In 2026, will a Chinese, Saudi, and Russian alliance emerge, threatening the existing world order? Will the United States go to war with foreign nations? Will the United States of America be able to fight several wars simultaneously around the world? I leave you with lots to think about. Once again, if this podcast has struck a chord with you and you would like to ask questions, respond to topics, or would like to offer support to this podcast, feel free to reach out to me. My email address is getitoffyourchest@gmail.com, no spaces. My name is The Mediator. I can also be found on YouTube at TheMediator-5873. I'm also on Spotify, podcast name Enough by The Mediator. In closing, if this podcast is resonating with you, please share it with as many people as you can. Thank you. Thank you.